This is Yud Chesem Rav. Oh, you have different tfus, but what happened to the one you were using last night?
I couldn't find it.
Okay, it's probably on one of the shelves here.
Is somebody else here?
No, there's some little gnomes put away tomorrow at night. Amocher Peres Chaver, somebody sells his friend fruit, and they didn't grow. Afilu Zera Pishtan, even if it's flax seed. And Uchai Bachruso, he's not liable to replace it. There's not Chai Benachrais. Shigom Leo Meir Ziron, Egino Sheina Necholim. Why? Because, I should explain that. Because the seller can say that I sold it to you to eat. I didn't know. I thought flax seed, you're going to make oil out of flax oil and eat it. So therefore, you know, Enochim Bamanacharov, even though most people buy it for the purpose of planting. They certainly don't eat flax usually, although nowadays it does appear in health foods. But nevertheless, since Enochim Bamanacharov, you know, his claim I sold it to you for edible purposes. What, Enochim Bamanacharov? Yeah, no, but this Mishnah, it does hold that Enochim Bamanacharov. There's no machlokas here. No machlokas. Machlokas only the next thing. Even those old Enochim Bamanacharov, Enochim Bamanacharov, that still won't be between buyer and seller, if I recall correctly. But you're right, it's a good point. Maybe I don't remember what the Gemara says about this. I just looked at the Pnei Moshe and I didn't even think about the Machlokas. I'm worried about Enochim Bamanacharov. I don't know. I guess because even if you hold Enochim Bamanacharov, I don't know. It's a good question. All right. You weren't really asking this question, but it is a question. Yeah. It shouldn't be the subject of a Mishnah. Yeah. All right. That's a very good point. I'm not sure how to deal with it, so I'm just going to ignore it. Or Shugam Leo, Mayor. Shugam Leo says, right, the idea of Ochma Menacharov. So when they finally get around to our Mishnah, they don't address our Mishnah. Just planted down here in the middle, but doesn't actually address our Mishnah. Let's see, maybe later on it does. Yeah, later on it does. Says Taka Machlokas Tanoim. Gemara and Daf Tzadik Gimel says Machlokas Tanoim. Yeah. So that's whether you go off the road or not. Okay. It's a Gevor from the Machlokas Tanoim. It's an obscure one. It was from some Brisa, but they don't know it's Machlokas Tanoim. That's what it says. Okay. Shulam Leo Mer, Zorani Gino Shein Necholim. If it's garden seeds which are not eaten, I guess it's ornamental. I don't know exactly what it is. But Chaya Bachrus, you're liable to make Restush if it doesn't grow, because then you can't tie it for food. It wasn't for the purpose of food. Hamoicher l'chavero, or it's against this type of seeds which you plant. You do plant vegetables from it, but the seeds themselves, now, let's say, you'll say, well, chaves, I don't know what would be an example of that, but obviously seeds are plants which are not edible in themselves, even though they grow edible plants. So in that case, the guy has a legitimate taina. Clearly, I bought it to plant. If it doesn't grow, I want my money back. Somebody sells his friend fruit. The buyer accepts upon himself a quarter measure of refuse for saw. You know, certain pieces of stone and pebble and dirt gets mixed in to the grain. Martiv Shiain, if he buys a seller of wine, Makabel of Eskos, so is the mayor. He accepts upon himself 10 bad barrels per 100, which seems like a pretty high measure to us, 10%, right? But that's what it says here. Makankan Shiain, a person buys containers in the Sharon, Makabel of Eskos, the mayor, accepts upon himself 10 bad containers which absorb too much wine in their walls. They're not properly proofed for out of 100. Somebody sells wine to his friend Bichmitz and it goes bad, becomes vinegary, and Chai Bar Chayas is not liable to make restitution. However, if he knows that his wine goes bad and he didn't tell the guy, he raised a mekachtos, it's taka mekachtos. He says, I'm telling you, someone give you wine, literally means fragrant, but he means that it has, he takes a certain achrayas upon himself. Chayal milah ha'teres, it must last till Shavuos. He used to make the wine around Sukkot time, it has to last till Shavuos time, he says, Yom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, he said he's selling him old wine, it's got to be Shalosh Takat, a year old. Miushan, that's Mishal Shalosh name, it's age for 3 years. Question, of course, is what about age for 2 years? We're going to talk about it more. Okay, says tomorrow. Tani, we learned. Rabbeinu Peres Chaver, somebody sells fruit to his friend. The low team didn't grow up. He loses a pishon, even if it's flaxseed in Chai Bachruso. If he made a condition with him, I'm buying it for seed. Obviously, Chai Bachruso is liable to make restitution. Mao no silo, what does he pay him? He refunds the price of the seed. But Yeshomrim is a big chumra. We give him even what he spent on trying to plant it, with that it didn't work. So the mocher is really responsible for more than just a refund, which is an amazing concept, in my opinion. Right? He has to pay also for the. What? Yes. Yeah, but it's not really hezek, right? It's like groma. It's not hezek, it would be groma. But he has to pay even the yitzias, which he, because of his, I guess, because of falls. Actually, this is I don't know if it's a good proof. It's probably a lousy proof. It's probably not a proof at all, but maybe there's a concept of punitive damages. Right? It's not punitive damages, though, right? Because he actually, he lost in planting. It's beyond, yeah. Okay. Achim Mekabelov. Now, here in our Mishnah, it says he accepts upon himself a certain degree of refuse in the grain. Bramtaman, he might. By Kilaim, it says that you have to, if there's, let's say you have wheat seed and there's barley seed mixed in, which is Kilaim, you have to make sure it's less than a rova. In other words, you have to diminish the amount. It's 1/24th, actually. It has to be less than 1/24th of the total amount, right? So how come here we say you're makabel a rova? There we say you have to diminish it so it's less than a rova, less than the measure of 1/24th. So that's more of a very simple distinction. It's more assuming the distinction. It doesn't make it outright. But there, of course, because it's kilaim, or more severe. Kilaim is an iser, right? So therefore, in order to prevent the iser, you have to diminish it to the shear of less than 1/24th, which Chachamim decided was the minimum shear, which is considered to be a problem. It's 1/24th. When it's less than 1/24th, it's not a problem anymore. That's hacha uvivat tinofes. There, we're talking about only refuse from tamon mean. There we're talking about a different species, obviously. It's a different type of thing. It's not refuse, it's barley. As a result, we have the following distinction. Here, the way he's makabo the tinofes upon himself, it's only the tinofes which is there as a result before have transportation. Because the Pei Moshe says that when you transport it, then the tendency is for the refuse to sink to the bottom. So if this is grain which is already transported, so then the buyer no longer expects nor is accepts upon himself the rova tinofes. At that point, he expects it to be much cleaner, right? He's buying it on the spot as it's harvested as opposed to having been transported to market. Tamon, ubakadech maso. There, however, even once you've transported it, right, the grain, it still has the barley mixed in. Now, it's barley and wheat don't naturally separate, but the grain and the refuse separate. So therefore, after transporting, you accept upon yourself less. But by in terms of the on the other hand, by the terms of the barley and the wheat, they don't separate. So therefore, it has to be a hand separated in order to reduce the barley inside the wheat. Hacha, Rabbi Shimon Moideh. There, here, Rabbi Shimon concedes that you have to, that's a quarter measure of refuse, rova of their refuse. There, Baram Tamon, Rabbi Shimon Meir Shnei Minim Hein Veim Itzdarfin. There, Rabbi Shimon holds that the rova is a problem only if it's from one type. In other words, is wheat and barley. But if it's wheat with a small amount of barley and a small amount of, let's say, corn mixed in, so then that would be a problem. Rabbi Shimon would not look at it as a problem. Climb, because in order to be climb, the rova must consist, the 1/24th must consist solely and completely of a contrary mean to the major portion of the mixture. Rabbi Chirbaba asked the question. Now here, the Gemara of Girs is messed up. Let's go down to the Gilin Ephraim on the bottom. You don't have a Gilin Ephraim. So I will read you what the Gilin Ephraim says. So also, you can try and tag along, but you'll see it gets mixed up. So also, Orin, right, switch switches, a Sa'ah of barley, Shlavatoch Me'a Shel Chitim, which fell into 100 measures of wheat. So it's 1 measure of barley into 100 measures of wheat. Now, the seller planned to sell 100 measures of wheat. That's what he's going to sell. Now 1 measure of barley came in. Can he charge more because it's barley? Of course he can't charge a full 101 measures, right? Because it's not wheat, the other measure. But can he charge more? Now, there's some people who actually want to say, not the Gilin Ephraim, but somebody wants to say, the Pnei Moshe, I think, wants to say, they should be able to charge the full amount because it's Bittul Barov. But we don't say Bittul Barov by Choshen Mishpat. By Choshen Mishpat, you don't say the barley is bottled in the wheat. So rather, it means, can you charge more, but not the complete measure as if it's 101 of wheat. So says the Gemara, says the Gilin Ephraim in the name of the Gemara, no, it's not Mechatos. He tells him what happened. He's not misrepresenting it. He says, 1 measure of barley fell to 100 measures of wheat. Now it's 101 measures. Will you pay? The question, can he ask for more payment based on that? What? Well, maybe, I guess, if they concluded the deal already, that's probably the case. But he wants to renege on the deal. I guess it's a Mishapara case. You're right. It's a valid point you're raising. I assume it's a Mishapara. Okay, you mean Mechatos. I have little Mechatos. I don't know. It's so very hard to say Mechatos because it's much less than 1/6. That's a good point, but you have to. The obviously, it's not about a case where he proposes to split the difference because the deal was already consummated and now something happened to the glitch happened afterwards. Something to that effect. It's a good point. Okay, so it must be that you can call him Mechatos. The same, it comes down to the same idea in the end. So, Lemaisa, he's asking whether they can negotiate some sort of splitting of the additional amount. Similarly, a Sa'ar Truma, Rabbi Yossi, who's this, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Tavli, asked, Sa'ar Truma, Sa'ar Truma Tmeir, Shnofa Tok Meir Shechulin. It fell into 100 measures of Chulin, right? Koyim Yisrael Maushi Chakos Hashavach. Now, the Yisrael is going to sell it to a Koyim. Can they charge the Koyim extra for the Truma Tmeir? Or basically, you know, he has no right to charge Koyim extra Truma Tmeir, because he couldn't use it anyway, so therefore why should he be able to charge him for it? So I know it might ask me Truma Tmei, I think it'll just be also be Truma Torah. But the girlfriend does dress, it's Truma Tmeya. So be that as it may, going back to the Gemara inside, Amrei Bum Barachin Shmini Meado. Okay, let's hear it from here. Habore Etzros Mitok Kerisho Chavero. You go to your friend's grain hopper and you take out pebbles, right, from his grain. So you think you're doing a favor, right? Of course you're not. Why? You're going to do him a disservice. Why is that? Because you're going to sell the pebbles for the price of grain. So what do you have to do? Chayav Lishposlo. You have to make up to him the pebbles which you took out, right? So what's the raya here? It's difficult to understand what exactly the answer is. Ritva says it doesn't answer the question at all. But I think that it does answer the question. What do we see here? We see that this guy's got to pay back whatever the pebbles made up for the volume, right? So we see that volume in and of itself is worth money, right? So therefore, the seller can split up the extra volume which is created by the barley which is mixed into the wheat. That's what I think Mars is answering. If you don't like the way I'm interpreting the answer, then you can go with the Ritbaz, that there is no answer. This is just a separate statement. Again, the Ritbaz says, it's Nishmini that does a mistake, it's a separate statement, it has nothing to do with the previous statement. But I think that what we're trying to prove is volume is worth something. Even though everybody knows it's pebbles anyway he's getting, right? The buyer knows it's pebbles, the seller knows it's pebbles, but volume is a psychological benefit. It's worth something to an individual. And therefore, the guy who takes out the pebbles has got to pay up the seller. Because the seller's not going to make as much selling clean grain without pebbles as he'll make selling a greater volume of grain with pebbles. So we see volume was worthwhile, worth something, so therefore he could charge extra for the extra barley and the extra which fell into the wheat, or the extra truma tmei which fell into the truma tmei. So that sound good? Sound good? You guess so? Don't be so acquiescent. Says more further. Rebu Barakana Omar, he said, B'oimer tzvor ve'ekne. The only time you can sell the guy pebbles and assume it's part and parcel of the sale of wheat is when the guy says, just pile me up the grain and I'll buy it, right? In other words, pile up the grain means whatever's there, grain plus pebbles. Avol ima yutzvuri mishor rishoina, but there, if you had a pile of pebbles and a pile of wheat separate, says, so then lobodon, then the seller can't say, okay, let me combine some pebbles with my wheat. In other words, had it been separated, right, that's why the guy who separates the pebbles has got to pay the owner of the wheat, because once the pebbles are separated out, you can't put it back in. It's only if he just says, give me a heap out of there, when there's still one pile, but it's already two separate piles, you can't put it back in order to make up your loss because of the pebbles being taken out.
Some
vague recollection of saying that. I might just be making up in my mind, my fertile imagination, but it makes sense to say that wine and drugs have the same parameters. Yeah, I would say so. Okay. Tani mechavios ani marchilcha. The guy says, I'm going to sell you 100. The Gilan Ephraim makes also a slight change, or a critical change, though. Tani mechavios ani marchilcha. Chayev lahami lo yain yafe. He has to give him, he says, I'm going to sell you 100 barrels of wine. Let's give him good wine. Based on the majority of wine that is sold in that place. So then, in other words, by the locality, by the city, right? However, if he says, Mechavios yain elu, and he points to the wine which he has in the store. And he can't go by what's considered to be good wine in the general vicinity, we ask to go by what's the good wine in the store itself. Okay, so that depends. Well, what the standards are determined based on how he defined the lot being sold. Lot and sold is just a generic lot being sold from the produce of the city. Then it doesn't have to be just by the good. The wine is just as good as the produce of the city is. If it's a produce specifically in the store, it has to be 100 barrels from the best lot in the store. Okay. Now, if it just says Me'ach Chavios Elu, top of your testament, if it just says these 100 barrels, he doesn't say wine. He doesn't say wine in this case. Then Afilu Chaimet Zigio, even turns out the vinegar, he didn't promise anything, right? So therefore, the vinegar is the sale counts. Rechia Bar Va says B'shayu Akankanim. Now, this is the Escorial adds here, and the truth is that I think there's some of the other Mepharshim add as well here. I don't remember. No, maybe not here. Anyway, Eli adds, the Escorial adds a whole line. It should be Hakankanim Shel Moicher. This is what you're talking about when B'shayu Akankanim Shel Moicher, when the barrels or containers belong to the seller, so then he's responsible if it became vinegar and he said wine. Of course, if he didn't say wine, the last case said, doesn't matter if it's vinegar. If he promised wine, then he can say, well, the buyer says you promised wine, you gave me vinegar. Avalima you are kankanim shalokeh, if you still don't have this. If the barrels belong to the buyer, yochel meimerlei, then the seller can say to the buyer, well, kankanecho yichmitza sayai. It's your barrels which made the wine go bad, not mine. Now, of course, it's talking about where they didn't know at the top point of sale. They only found out afterwards that the barrels were bad. Rabbi Yossi ben Chanina, Rabbi Yossi ben says, "Afilu akankanim shamoicher." Even if the sellers, it's in the sellers' containers, but they open it up later on, and they found it's vinegar later, not immediately. So Yochum Meimerle, the seller can say, it's very similar to our Mishnah. L'shtia mechayt v'loch, I didn't sell to you to keep in the barrels, I sold to you to drink right away. Oh, you want to store it. You didn't tell me that. So therefore, he can say, I meant it to be drank, right, to be consumed right away. The fact that it turned vinegar is your problem, even though it was in my barrels. Okay? But a chavis lios marvish olav v'hoylich. If a guy checked a barrel, in order to separate trumus and maizes based on it. In other words, this is a tevel barrel, and he's going to constantly take trumus and maizes for the rest of his wine from this barrel, which he leaves in the corner. Okay? Actually, Shiyomim Badai. You know, I did a big avla. This sugi is a parallel gittin. When I got home, I was going to look up the parallel gittin and see how I learned it there, but I forgot to do that. So, Lamaisa, you're just going to have to go with how I learned it today. A person set aside, assume it's wine for the first three days. Okay? From there on in, it's a suffering. Now, of course, if later on it was still wine, so it means it was wine more later on as well. But let's say later on when you open it up, when he finally came to give it to the coin, it turned out that it's vinegar. So how much of your trumus and maizes actually worked and how much didn't? So the first 3 days were for sure okay. That's the first 3 days, we don't know. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Shlosh Yom Yishonim Vadayah. The first 3 days, it was definitely wine. If you found now vinegar, then the last 3 days was definitely vinegar. Right? You don't find wine being vinegar unless for 3 days it's already been vinegar. And so in the middle days, something, a question, we don't know what's in the middle. Rebbe said, Anishmati Yemimenu. I heard this from Rabbi Shimon Levi, but Umavit, what can I do? Umar Rabbi Yochan, I heard on the other end from Rabbi Yochan, that even the last 3 days are part of the Sofei. We don't know for sure when it became vinegar. It might have become vinegar at the very last moment, just before I opened the barrel. Rabbi Lo, Shem Lezer, Rabbi Yazar, Shem Rabbanon, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yazar, the name of the rabbis, Don the Shami, Rebbe, Lusha, the Barai, Eitan, who went in and heard this in the base, manager Barai, Eitan, B'machat, by needles, we find the same thing Kiyodod Rabbi Shul ben Levi Mechavis as with Allah, which is signed name Rabbi Shul ben Levi by a barrel. How so? Ibeid Machat. If a person lost a needle shufa and it was smooth, meaning it was it was stainless, and no rust on it. Vomitzar chaluda. He came and he found it rusted. Now, in terms of tumatara, needles which are smooth and new are metame. Needles which are rusted, they are not metame anymore. They don't have the same keli anymore. So he came and he found it rusted. Rav Sirshay Shirley said, Shloshi Yom Rishonim, the first 3 days, Bari Thomas definitely told me, or Royal Kabbal Tumah, because it was not yet rusty. Achroinim, the last 3 days, it's definitely dirty, because if you fire a rusty needle, it's been rusty for 3 days already. And so in the middle of the day, it's something. Rav Borva said, Rav Shmati Rimeno, I heard this whole same Rav Shem Levi, Ma Meva, what can I do? Umar Rabbi Yochan, Rav Yochan said, Ashloshi Yom Rishonim, for the first 3 days, it's definitely considered to be a whole needle. From there on in, it's a suffix the entire time. Bob himself, you came at the end here, the Escorial says, Bob himself, our boy. You came at the end of 40 days, not a week. Now, I have to tell you what it says in the parallel in Gittin. It says that, where did 40 days come from? It says the wine fresh out of the wine presser. I don't know what you call the. Where they press wine. It's not called wine press in English, is it? Wherever they make it, you know, where they step on the grapes. So whatever, that's the wine from the gas. For 40 days, you assume it's still wine. 40 days, okay? Rav Yehuda says, Adaperik. Adaperik is until the changing of the seasons, only there aren't four seasons in wine, there are three seasons. Well, I don't know exactly what they are offhand, but there are three seasons. Rav Simon asks, and this is all the Gemara Gittin. If the 40th day came, he didn't check. And he was lazy for 2 or 3 days, and then he came, shouldn't check, day 42, 43, it was already vinegar. When did it become vinegar? Did it become vinegar retroactively? Or it's become vinegar from here on in? Okay? So that's basically what we have to know from the Gemara Gittin. So here we have similar issues. Rechia Bar Bosh Bar, Shalai asked like this, Bob is so far, but he came at the end of 40 days. Now, not on 40, day 42, 43, but on day 40, he came and saw Chemitzpur, and he found beyond a shadow of doubt that it was definitely vinegar. So, is it Lamar Freya considered to be vinegar, right, retroactively? That's actually the language of the parallel Gemara Gittin. Is Lamar Freya Unas Chemitz? The way the Scorpio has it is miyad nasa chometz bara. Miyad here means though retroactively, not right now immediately, but retroactively. O mikar labor, from your head, from the moment you found it, it's considered to be vinegar. Rabbi Yitzchok Shor, Rabbi Yitzchok asks like this, a different question. Avar aperik b'sof arba'im yom. At the end of the 40 days, towards the end of the 40 days, the seasons changed. So kochol shoperek. Do we say that when did it become vinegar? At the time of the changing of the season, when you did neglect your check, and therefore the 40 days is not relevant. Or the first 40 days, they are able to overcome the change of seasons. And therefore, what only became vinegar after day 40. Of course, this is not the type of question which we are going to answer, right? Rabbi Crispa. One of my favorite Jewish names. Rabbi Krisva Shaul, he asked like this. This is a very difficult question. What it means is like this. You have your aging wine, right? So you have to check it to make sure it's not vinegar yet. Now, if your problem is that when you check the wine, you're making more likely to become vinegar. Because if you disturb it, it enhances the fermentation process. So you have to check it anyway, you don't have to check it anyway. Okay? So it's basically, who bears the risk, the buyer or the seller? So it says, if somebody sells a wine for this year, in other words, wine is good for this year, he's liable to be responsible for it until Sukkot. Now, the Gemara understands that they harvested the grapes and made the wine before Sukkot the previous year. And if he sells wine for this year, guaranteed for this year, he's responsible for it until the following Sukkot. How does he know to be responsible for it? How does he know if it's wine or not? The only way he can know it's wine or not is if he tastes it, right? So it would seem to me that he has to taste the wine, right, in order to know if what he's selling is wine, which will hold up till the I'm sorry, the other way around. It seems that you don't have to check. In other words, he accepts achrayus until Sukkos, but he doesn't have to check. In other words, he harvested before Sukkos, the year before. He's required to he's a mekabel achrayus until the following Sukkos for the year, right? So during that year, he doesn't have to check, though, because if he checked, he would know if it's good or not. But he's chayav achrayus even though nobody's checking it. So that good means you can go more than a year without checking. You don't have to check each and every year. So Rabbi Yehuda said, not necessarily, but there could be about the people living in Galilee. They only harvest their vineyards after Sukkot. So actually it's less than a year. So it's some Makabah Chayetz from after Sukkot, the following Sukkot, it's less than a year, and that's why he's Makabah Chayetz and wasn't checked in the meantime. But Eirachanami could be you have to check every year, just that here you didn't have to check in that interim because it was less than a year. Okay, so we don't have a proof from here. So Leis Hachmami no clue. You can't derive anything from here. So therefore, if that's the case, how are we going to learn out? Now there's a line missing here, which is in the Eskoriyam. Should be Vaida Amrada. So what's going to tell us this halacha? Misyashin chay b'achrayusa. It says if wine is in the process of being misyashin, we didn't have that in our Mishnah. We actually had yashan, that's a year old, and we had miyushan, that's 3 years old. But the Braitzer says if it's misyashin, you're liable in achrayus. So he's liable on achrayus even on the wine which is in the process of fermenting. It's not fermenting, of aging. So if that's the case, how is he chayav achrayus? How would he know to check if his wine is still good or not? So it must be that he's checking it out in the middle, after the year is up, and then he can sell this second year wine with achrayus that it's okay. I think that's what Gemara is saying. I'm not sure about this, but that's what I think the Gemara is saying. And now the Gemara says, picking up again in our text here, Vaida Amrada, and who says that Misyashen is in the second year? So I'll tell you, Yashan, it says in our Mishnah, Yashan is Mishal Shtakas from last year. Miyushan is Shal Shloshan is from 3 years. So therefore, Mityashen must be the second year. So how do they know if it's good or not? In order to be Makabah Achrayus, Neimer Mishum Hador Matmuse must be because you taste it yearly to see if it's good or not. So therefore, you taste it at the end of the first year to see if it's still good. If it's still good, you sell it during the second year and you Makabah Achrayus on it as well. Okay? Says, well, how do you check? Ma'achovis Achasu Bodek? Do you check only one barrel? Because again, each time we check a barrel, it's potentially going to make it go bad, right? You check only one barrel. Cool is but we assume whatever that one barrel is like, all the other barrels are like that. Or do we check kol achas v'achas, but do we check each and every one? Says the Mara, I'm sorry, ma'achov is a chasu, but does he check a one? Or kulach at kulach leba, and do we say no? It's a statement. I'm going to read it wrong. Ma chavis. I'm not sure. I read it. Ma chavis achas ubodek. I think it should be ma bodek chavis achas. In other words, what does he check? He checks one barrel. Because the kundli is bought, and all of them depend on that one. Because kolachas was biting be machmitzos to reject everyone. You don't think they go sour, so therefore he's only required to check one of them and not every one of them. Says more, even more than that. Rabbi Simi said, Yitzbar Nash Makshina Garba, the people who can knock on the barrel, the lel from the outside, Yodin, and they know Magdisa Bebil Garba. You don't necessarily even have to open it up. All you have to do is knock on it, and then you'll know. Okay. Now, if you sell the pot to your friend to make a house, even though some receives from his friend a place to build him a wedding for a house for newlyweds, though for his children or son, based on moves a house for a widow, Lubito for his daughter. In other words, it's not a true abode. Bina Arval Shesh, Ibn Rabbi Akiva. The shear for that type of short-term abode, or a limited abode, I should say, for somebody who's newly married or newly widowed, is 4 amos by 6 amos, Ibn Rabbi Akiva. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Revez Bokaruzu. This is a stable. Arutzalazos Revez Bokar Bina Arba Amos Al Shesh. Then for somebody who wants to build a stable, he builds 4 by 6 amos, right? By his cut on a small house is at least 6 by 8. Got a large house, Shmoneser is 8 by 10. Trakling, a palatial residence, is Eser al Eser is 10 by 10. Okay? 15 feet by 15 feet. It's not so big, right? Rumo, Kichatzi Orko, its height is like the half of its length and chatzi roch, but its width added together. So you have the length and the width. In other words, if it's 10 by 10, so the length and width together is 20, and the height would therefore be 10, right? If it's 6 by 8, so then the height would be 7, right? Half of 14, and so on and so forth. Says the Gemara, the other proof of this is Hechel Uksola. The Hechel and its walls. The Hechel was 40 amos by 20 amos, and the height was 30 amos. Shigamliel America Binyan Echal, Shigamliel says it was the structure of the Echal. Now, either he's agreeing, it's not clear what he's doing. Either he's agreeing and he's saying, or he's disagreeing. He's agreeing and saying, yeah, Binyan Echal's not right. Or he's disagreeing and saying, what, all buildings are like the Echal had its own halachos of symmetry. Not necessarily all buildings have to be built on along the same standards. Okay? Tani, we learned Kanter. I'm wondering whether Kanter is the same for his country. Because where the Moshe explains it, a Kanter is like a yard for noblemen in their estate. So therefore, it's like a country estate or a yard of some sort. Chayav l'amid l'shem es l'shem, so you have to give it 12 by 12 amos. And then the Sefer asked Rabbi Chanina, because of Echad Omer, Rabba says, Komosu Shleshim Amma, that the height of the Echal was 30 Amos. Because of Echad Omer, Komosu Shrim Amma. The other says the height was 20 Amos. The law of to Rabbi Chanina, it's a contradiction. The law of the Shama, the law of the Klim, Rabbi Chanina didn't hear any answer about this, so therefore he didn't respond. Show Rabbi Yirmiyah. So he asked Rabbi Yirmiyah the same question. Rabbi Nuna Safra asked Rabbi the same question. They said to me, a karkol amalon from the floor, from the ground up, there was 30 amos. I mean, a dvir amalon from the dvir and up was 20 amos. Now, the dvir is the place of the kruvim in the base of Mikdash. In other words, we're in the kachi. And the Devir, according to him, was 10 amos higher than the rest of the Hechel. So the Gemara says, Mechtesi, how do you know such a thing? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yavor Avil said, Mifalche Devir, the way the Gilan Ephraim says, he learned that it's slightly different here. So, Ma Kaflin Devir, what are you talking about Devir? Who says Devir is any different than the rest of the Hechel? Devir, where the place of the Kruvim are, was also from floor till beam, same like the rest of the house. The Sefer says it was suffoned by Erez, it was roofed over with beams, minakarka vadakoros, and it went from the land ground to the beams. In other words, there was nothing in between, there was nothing built up inside. El rather minakarka lebalon shloshim amos, from the karka and up, it was 30 amos. What about the says the Dvir was 20 amos? Minah Kruvah Lamala, from the Kruvah up was 20 Amos, because the Kruvah in the Beis HaMikdash stood 10 Amos tall. So therefore, from the Kruvah, the Dvir was the place the Kruvah stood, so from the Kruvah up to the roof was 20 Amos, because the Kruvah themselves were 10 Amos. Alright, Tanakhuma said, Mesoris HaGadai, we have a Gadic tradition. I don't know if you ever saw a language like that. Mesoris HaGadai. Maybe it's like the Ramban in his Vikuach says that Chachamim made up a lot of the stuff, right? And the Agadatus, right? So you don't have to accept it. So he's saying, this is a Mesoris HaGadai. This I have is a Mesoris. She'ed mokum vir elam min aminyan. That when they used to count measures to base a mikdash, even though the Kruvim should have taken up space, they came up with the same measurements from wall to wall, from floor to ceiling, as if the Kruvim weren't there, as if they didn't take up any space. Similarly, I believe Yivetani came b'shem Rav Yudah b'Rav Yiloi, he said, Aroin oimei b'emtza, the arm was in the middle of the bayis, v'cholik ha-bayis esamas choruch. Yet when you measure, it was as if it wasn't there. The country was 20 by 20, and you would measure to the Aron 10 Amos and from the Aron 10 Amos in all directions, so as if the Aron did not take up any space at all. Obviously, above and beyond the supernatural. Okay? Hello, everyone. If I own a well and it's inside the courtyard, your courtyard, I don't own your courtyard, you do. But my well is inside the courtyard. I can't come in any day of day, and I can only come in when most people go in and out. The yotze, go out when people go out. I can't bring my animal into your courtyard to drink from my well. Rather, I fill up water to give the animal to drink outside the courtyard. Zeuso apachas, each one makes a key, one to protect his well, the other to protect his privacy. Zeuso apachas posachas, zeuso posachas. Mi sheyeshlo gino lefnei kidosh chaver, I have a garden patch behind my friend's garden patch. So nichlas b'shar d'rech, the other nichlas can go in when people normally go in. V'yaitse, go out b'shar shmei adam, v'yaitse, people normally go out. So I can't bring it to my gino tagorim. I can't bring in merchants. Nor may I use it to go through as a shortcut to another field. If I want to not use my garden, I want to use a shortcut to another field, not to use it. I can only go to my garden when I actually have need for it. And the guy who has the outer akina, he is the one who's allowed to plant even on the road, even on my road in, because he holds the oil outside like talking about. If they agreed to give the inner guy a mutually acceptable pathway through the outer guy's property, he still could come in. Since he has his own path, which is allotted to him by mutual agreement, so therefore he comes in whenever he wants, even every once, because the other guy knows to be careful not to private things when this guy is potentially on his path within sight of the path. And he can bring in merchants into his gino as well. But he shouldn't use the shortcut. That part he should use. He has to go there purposely. And if the owner of the outer yard gave him a highway, a road, so then neither side is allowed to use that road to pave. To plant. You can't use that road to plant. In other words, to plant the planting case where he gave. Where they gave a derech by mutual consent. Hachitzon ain't a rest of derech. The other guy can't plant the road. Du'amar leim ala nasara. Because the guy who's coming in on the road says, if you plant there, when I want to come in, I'm going to have to go around whatever you're growing on my pathway, right? Apnimi ain't a rest as a derech. On the other hand, the guy that's going in, he can't plant the pathway either. Du'amar leim, because the other guy says to him, Archaeus Odino, what's going to happen is if you plant the pathway, is you're going to have mercy on your own plants and not step on them and say you're going to go around to my field and step on my plants. So therefore, you can't build, you can't plant AD either. How long ago now? Somebody had a highway going through his field. Derek Arabi. Northward. So he barred their access highway. Venus Lemmina found he gave them an alternate pathway on the side. Mashinosa Nosa, whatever he gave, he gave. Vishalovlo he killed, but he loses on both counts. He lost whatever he took away and whatever he gave. Derek Ayochid Arbamas. The derech of individuals, now Logan said it's four amos wide. And that's what you have to supply them. Derech Rami, derech the masses, Rishus Achabim, Mishesh, it's three amos, 16 amos. That's what you have to supply. Derech HaMelech, the way of the king, ain't lo shir, has no shir. Derech HaKever, ain't lo shir. Also, the derech on the way to a kever, to bury him, has no shir as well. Because Takonis Chomir said as many people as can join the Levaya, join the Levaya.
Brooklyn called Kings Highway. It comes off of Ocean Parkway.
I told you Shmuel Kamehameha says Gematria.
You weren't there probably this in the morning. What's Derech HaMelech in Gematria? What's HaMelech in Gematria? I-95 is Derech HaMelech. I-95 is the road which goes all along the East Coast from
Maine to Florida.
Right, that's why.
Derech HaMelech. Okay, so this can make you a mimer, the fact that I-95 is Gematria HaMelech. All right, in any event, Derech HaKever ain't Lashir. Derech HaKever also is no Shir. A mimer, where they stand to accept condolences. Make a spade. So that what's the shear of a maimon? So Dayani Tzipori, remember the Jordan Tzipori said base arba kabin, the amount of space for which you can grow 4 kab of grain. Hamoicha Magum Mechaber, so he sells his friend a place, Lasos Lo Kever, to make a grave. Now this is not just one grave, not a plot, but rather a tomb where many people are going to be buried. Also tell us Shemara Arba Amos Oshesh. There's a drawing of this in the Bavli. You make the opening of the burial caves 4 amos by 6. Boseh Lusog Shmona Kuchim, and you open 8 catacombs into it. Right? Shlosh Mikan, 3 on one side, Shlosh Mikan, 3 on the other side, like they have 2 opposite. Kuchim, the Kuchim which you stick the coffins, Orkan Abba Amos, they're 4 amos long, Baruman Shiva, and they're 7 Tvachim high, Barachman Shisha, and they're 6 Tvachim wide. Shemar always a tefillah. Shemar you make the answer of the cave. Sheishas 1 and 6 by 8. Ubosel so the shloshes for kuch, and you make 13 kuch, 13 catacombs. Army can 4 on one side, army can 4 on the other side. Ushlosh me egg on 3 in front of you. Ushnaim echem yoy pesa echem in esmo, and 2 more, 1 on the right, 1 on the left. Vayse chutzar pesa chamara. And besides the opening to the cave, you make a courtyard in front of the cave. Sheish al sheish, 6 by 6. Kulamitos over the mountain place, space it takes for the coffin and its barriers to stand there, right? The coffin is 4 amos long, and the barrier people, the pallbearers, are 2 on each, 1 on each side. That's additional amma on each side, right? Posel Soshne Maris, you open 2 caves into that chotzer. Achaz Bichai, you can have 2 graveyards in caves coming off either side of this chotzer. Rav Shilmer, Arbel will say to open up 4 graveyards out of this one central chotzer, 1 on each direction. Shilmer, Kofiyasel, very realistic. It depends what kind of stones you're dealing with, how many catacombs and graveyards you can deal with the stone, right? Rechiyasemer, Oisa Sokiminakor, these extra 2 that said in the middle. Rav Shilmer said you make 4 on this side, 4 on that side, 3 in front of you, and an extra 2. Where are these extra 2? So, you make them going down into the ground. And the people who are buried there are buried standing up.
So take those two directly down into the ground. Okay? It's not a Jewish custom usually to bury standing right up. The Gemara is going to have to ask on that. In which country do they bury standing up? Travels, they're very standing up. Okay? Because they hold by Tchias HaMeisim, the world will be turned upside down. So they'll come up on the other side. Okay? A little piece of trivia there.
Says, Amalei Rabbi Yochanan said, Valo Aklovi made him the Gemara, okay? You don't bury dogs like that. Maybe little Lilliputians. We don't bury dogs like that. What kind of business is that to bury people standing up? Rather, Ketzer Isa, what do you do? Boine should be mibifnim lachutz. Lachutz is saying the same from inside to outside, meaning on an angle. So you have four on each side, three in front, and then coming out of the corners, going into the ground, you have the on an angle. So you have two sides, front, and angles between in the corners. Okay? Says Mara. Hey, it should be avodos. No gospo, don't. Or it's all changed. They had a kuchim dogi bo. Don't they touch each other? Or isn't there some sort of clash in this building? Says Mara, no, the building this way. Says Mara, no. It should be heich. The escoria is heich avar. Or heich avar, how do you do it? You know, there won't be a problem of clashing because you build them on different levels. In other words, the ones that go straight in the wall, go straight in the wall like this. The ones that go on an angle, go a little higher up. So there's not going to be any meeting of the holes, even in the wall, the opening to the wall, because they're on different levels. Okay?
So it's really the stuff on both sides.
Well, the three on each side are the four on each side are parallel to each other, on the same level. And the three in front are on the same level. The two in the corners are a bit higher or a bit lower. So their holes don't sort of connect with each other. Okay. Hajjah of the Paris. Hajjah of the Paris, somebody says to Shrem, base core offer any miracle. I'm giving you a base core worth of dirt. Now, offer here means not that you're there for you to carve off, it means for you to plant. And therefore, it means a base square of offer means enough physical location on the ground to plant the base square. There's nothing theoretical about this. Okay? So, what if there are nooks and crannies, which are very deep, even more dead vachim? Or stones which are higher than dead vachim high, they jut out into the heavens. They're not counted as part and parcel of the field. You have to give him a base core offer besides those areas. Pause me, kind of, to less than 10 fucking high, or less than 10 fucking deep. Then, Nimdari Mimar, they're included in the sale. Vimarmalok base core, if he says, I'm giving you approximately a base core. Avila Yasham, the Koyam, Amukhi Yasar, sorry, even they're deeper than 10 fucking. Or, Oblaslang, Gavay Yasar, sorry, they're higher than 10 fucking. I rarely done him, mother all considered to be included in this sale. Rabbi Yassim Shem Rabbi Yon said, oh, Bilbad, maybe you taste so dare you. That which stones are included in this sale, or at least they don't cancel the sale, it's only if they took up the minority of the field, and also Milvloy, but they're scattered, literally absorbed all over the field. But if you have a stone which is big enough that it itself takes up a base rova, a certain measure, neither it's not counted in the sale. It's distinct unto itself. Also, a stone in the middle can be canceled. It's included in the sale and it's included in the base core. Cancel, I mean, it's bottom. Whereas the stone on the side ain't in that, it can't be included, and it's not It's not included in the sale, right? Ezu tzad ve'ezu em. So what's the difference between side and middle? The ve'ezu rabbiyan made kosher machreshes sovavto. Anytime you can pull a plow on either side of the stone, zo em tzad, that stone is included in the sale. Ena machreshes sovavto. If it's so far to the side that the plow can't go around both sides, zo tzad, and that is not included in the sale. Right? Why is that? Because it's not tofel to the field. Why is it not tofel to the field? Because it's not surrounded by fields on all sides. Even though it's technically surrounded, perhaps you can't get a plow through it, so it's going to be tofel to the field. Okay? As Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan, Chayaruba Mitzad Echon. Now, this is talking about if you have the majority of stones on one side of the field. In other words, I would have thought before that the stones that you're included have to be scattered. But what if they're in one specific location? There's a stony area in the field which is being sold. So you would think that, well, it will be included. I don't know what I would have thought. Let's just read inside. Asher Yisrael said, Aya Ruba Mitzad Echad. If most of the stones were on one side of the field, but if you scatter them all over the field, there would be within the minority of stones which can be included in the measure. So then, nidar imah, so it's a special kula. In other words, you measure them together. If you had a larger stone, which should not be batel, or a few larger stones should not be batel, nevertheless, we can say them technically as if they're distributed, and therefore they're considered to be bundled to the field, and they're counted in the count of the base court. Okay? Rechovin Kama. Now, how wide can a stone be? We said if it's once more than 10,000 tefach in several field. How wide can it be and still be part and parcel of the field? As long as it's under 10 tefach, of course. Rechovin Kama. Rechayama ad armamus can be up to 4 amos wide. And so be considered to be, even if it's up to 4 amos wide, it can still be considered to be part and parcel of the field. Yosef Rabun said, Ara sorot tfachim, that which is up to 4 amos is only if it's less than 10 tfachim high, but if it's more than 10 tfachim high, even if it's less than 4 amos, it's not canceled to the field and not included in the sale. What if there was a crack in the earth which is 10 fucking deep? But there wasn't 4 amos by 4 amos in it. Wow, what's the halach in that case? So in this case, normally, of course, by a stone which is high, you don't need 4 by 4 amos, right? If it's more than 10 fucking. So why by the crack should you need more than 4 amos? Right, it's more than 10 fucking. So it says the Gemara. Actually, the Gemara doesn't say this, but the Lieberman says this. He says that it's more likely that a depression will be included in the field because it can gather water and stuff like that. So it's useful for you as opposed to elevation in the field. So therefore, it might be more machmir by elevation. That even if they're less than 4 by 4 amos, it's the 10th volume high, we eliminate them, so to speak. Whereas it's not the case over here, where we're talking about it's in the ground. It's in the ground, so I can use the water, so perhaps even if it's deeper than Fachim, still maybe I get the 4 by 4 almost nonetheless.
It actually makes sense. The notion of 10 tefachim is separate rishus, but if it's something, even though it could be separate
rishus,
but it has like something for which it's
useful
for the field itself, then it negates
the notion of separate rishus. Right, that's legitimate. That's a good expression. That's basically what Gemara's saying. That's good. So says Gemara, Nishmei Me'ad, that's trying to be improved from here. Now the Mecha Maim just takes this out. It's very difficult to figure out how it's improved. But this Lieberman seems to have kind of done a good job with it. Says Gemara, Nishmei Me'ad, the Marabi Asher, Rabbi Yochan, Rabbi Yochan, Uvarbe Mi'ut HaSodeh. The only time they're included in the sales if they're a minority in the field, Uvim Bloim, and they're absorbed in the field. If, however, it's a large stone the size of a Beis Loiva, ain't need dot ima, it's not counted. Hoya choluk nim dot ima. But if it's split, it's considered to be counted together with it. Now, the way we want to learn, at least according to Lieberman, is that since it says that shushucho beis rova ein nidima, only if it's that size. That means if it's a deep crevice in the earth, but it's very narrow, so then it's it might be counted. In other words, it has to be broad above ground in order not to be counted. But if it's narrow and below ground, then maybe it's counted as part and parcel of the field. Okay? Hardam right now, this actually I would take out, it was up to me, but just because it's redundant. Hardam right, we learned over before. Hi, Ruben, Tad, Echo, and most of the stones are one side. She's the first one, Rabbi Yishba, Mute. If you scatter them, there'll be a minority. Take out the word Ain, because Shai turns its throne, takes out. Neither anymore, it's canceled together with everything else. Okay? It's canceled together with everything else. In other words, it's part of parts of the field. Even though it's close to one space, since it's spread out by a nine field, it doesn't impede upon the entire base core going lock, stock, and barrel without having any additional amount required to be added on. Says more Rabbi Chibravo. No. What if there's a trench there which is very long? Bumisaya base rova, it is a base rova, but it's a very base rova in a long and narrow way. It was a base rova, normally think about a compact base rova. What if it's not compact, but it's long and narrow? Right? Maybe there it's different aloha. So there's more, no answer. Maybe it is a bit different aloha. Rechei Ravo asks, what if you have stones above ground, but they're like sticks, in other words, they're very narrow ridges. So if it doesn't impede so much and you're growing things. So grow right up to the ridge on one side and right up to the ridge on the other side, like sticks grow laid across the field. Of course, they don't have an answer about this either. Low. Is it count together with this with the base core or not? Now I have no idea what this means. I don't think so. I'm not up there yet. You skipped two lines. Yeah. That's where it's like small ridges. I don't know what tablets of marble look like. But somehow the rocks above ground look like tablets of marble. Pnei Moshe says they're triangles. Don't ask me. Lieberman has some shot I didn't even understand. I couldn't figure out what he said. What I was thinking maybe is that it means it's like the rocks are terraced. So therefore, theoretically, you could use the dirt on the terraced levels in order to plant. But it's larger than the base rova. Does it count as a separate and therefore not count as part of the field? Or is it, since you can plant on the terraced areas, is it count as part of the field? But I have no clue what I'm saying is right or wrong. It might be total stupidity. Probably is. Says further, what about Rabbi Yitzchok by Tavisho? I said, you mean cathedrals? Now, I don't know who this means. Cathedrals are like thrones. You know, cathedral announcements are announcements that the Pope makes from his throne, right? Das Torah. So I don't know what rocks looking like cathedrals look like. Beats me. But if the question, what about rocks looking like cathedrals? How do you measure them? They're part and parcel of the field or not? Mimakum doftamoid, you measure them from the bottom of the wall, and if it's a base rova above that in size, it's not counted. Akum shpumoid, you measure from a place where it becomes narrowing. And therefore, I guess it's much less surface area in that case, therefore, much more considered to be part and parcel of the surrounding field. I have no idea.
Cathedrals? Yes.
I thought cathedrals called cathedrals because the bishop sits in a cathedral. Are you sure about that?
Yes. There is some shape that comes down. It's
like this.
Rounded on top and coming down.
Oh, that's obviously fits the Gemara, but are you sure you're not making that up?
I'm not making up based upon this Gemara.
Okay. Because I always thought that the cathedrals
are aware there's a bishop in the town, and he sits in the cathedra. Cathedra's the chair. That's how I always thought. Well, it would make sense what you're saying. Right, so then the question whether you measure the top or the sides. Right, okay. In other words, you measure the base rover, which makes the stone distinct from the top, the narrow part, measure from the base where it's broader. That's what Mar be asking. Okay. Says Mar be that's me, Rav Huna b'shem Rav Chiya b'shem Rav Yod said, v'ushe Hashem base, it should be arba, the tritus all changes it to kabin offer. Four out of the six, even where you say that the stones are part and parcel of the field, because they're a minority, and they're small stones, but there has to be at least 4/6 of the field is usable. 4 kav out of the 6 kav, which make up a cord. If it's less than 4 kav, which is a distinct majority of the field, then you cannot include, simply cannot say that there's enough there to make up the base core offer. Okay, so yes, certain stones, certain trenches are included, but in the base core, but the bottom line is there's got to be at least 4/6 of the base core there in order to make it work. Okay, we'll stop here for this evening. Yeah, I actually had delusions of doing that, but enough is enough. I kind of looked ahead till the end of the parable, but I didn't prepare properly past here. So.